it's Danielle Fishel,
Ryder Strong,
and Will Friedle from Pod Meets World.
Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste.
Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten.
Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party.
So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles.
Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
You're now listening to La Verdad Podcast. Mi gente, we're back at it again with another episode of La Verdad Podcast, and I'm over here jumbling my words, but it's because the Cubs won last night, so
we have to announce it.
You know, we made history.
We did.
You know, it felt really good. I know we have Sox fans here in the building, but
you know, the Cubs won. So
congratulations, y'all. Okay.
It felt good. I saw we were at a local
bowling alley.
Let's just call it a bowling alley. and there was a lot of people that have been waiting for this for so many years. You know, since I was born, we've been talking about it here in the household. You know, but there were some viejitos at the bar that were just crying. It felt great, you know, to see a community kind of get together and no drama, just watching the game. So
it's okay to see grown men.
Yeah. And it's funny because
my dad was there. He was tearing up.
Bife was talking about there's no crying in baseball, but all the guys were crying. So a couple things I want to let our fans know that we have we're switching platforms now to Audio Boom, so you're gonna start hearing some ads that cater directly to La Verdad Podcast, so I'm excited about that. Also, we have the girls who have officially joined the La Verdad team, so Vanessa, Bife, and Nati. So how do you guys feel? You got your own little cartoons.
The logo is really awesome.
Yeah, I was geeked about our little faces being promoted.
So we have Nati, who's our outreach coordinator, and then we have V-Fig, who's our events coordinator within the team. So we're very, very happy to have them part of the team now and helping us out. And doing
when you got a cartoon.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I love it. I'm so excited that it's like official now.
I have one cartoon and like her butt is way too big. I've never met you in person, so I'm like, how did you
this is his vision for you.
Perfect. I'm like, it's not. That butt is ridiculous. Also, I'm gonna show you guys later, you're gonna crack up.
Oh,
yeah. She had pink hair though?
She did.
There you go.
Nice. But yeah, definitely when you got a cartoon, I know the girls were talking about, hey, give me a cartoon on the podcast. I was like, you know what, let's wait. And now they're finally all there. We have the four together in one show. So another big thing too is I want to give a shout out to Party Time America. That is www.partytimeamerica.com, who has hooked us up with some gear for the podcast. So make sure you check them out for all your DJ needs and all of your party, block party, whatever you need. Hit up my boy Mike at Party Time America. So we have an interesting show today. So we were able to, with Nati's help, now that she's outreach coordinator. We were able to get someone that I've listened to since I was in high school. Also a big Chicago, activist, a big Chicago icon, I will say. We have here joining us today, Pinky Ring.
All right.
How's
so
it going?
Excited. After that intro, I'm like, oh, wow.
Right. How's it going?
It's going good.
Good. I know I've listened to your stuff since I was like in high school. I know you went to Lane Tech. So my brother went to Lane Tech, and I think he went around the same time you were there. And I remember at the time, Reggaeton was real hot in industry. I was doing some recording here in the Chicagoland area, so I was always in tune with Chicago MCs, you know. So I remember, I don't know if you're familiar with D-Wise and Lobo.
Of course.
So they, yeah, so that was one of the guys that kind of introduced me to checking out Pinky Ring and stuff. So I'm happy that I'm glad that you're able to join us here on this platform today. So
this is an awesome space. It's all about energy, right? And it just feels good.
Thank you.
Good. We put a lot of work into this room, so.
So give us a little introduction of what, who you are and what you do. I know we have a lot of listeners from all over the Midwest and California as well, so.
Oh, that's yeah. Legalized marijuana. So my name is Pinky Ring. My government is Marisol. I can't give you the last name or I'll have to kill you. And I am a Puerto Rican woman, rapper, activist, revolutionary superhero.
Nice.
And I think a lot of people have a hard time with female rapper or femme, mm-hmm. but I think that being a woman and my womanhood has really just informed who I am as a musician and
yeah.
person as well. So I always put that in there. And yeah, I've been rapping and emceeing since the day before forever. And just kind of in and out. I always... it was like double dutch. I would jump in, jump out.
Okay.
It's just not the easiest place to be a woman, a Latina woman.
Yeah.
And so I was constantly in and out, but it always pulled me back. And so this year is the first year that I just quit all my jobs and decided to do this.
Wow.
And it's been a blessing, and a lot of things have been materializing for me. And it's because of that, when you make a decision and you say, this is what I want to do, and this is specifically the results that I want to get.
Nice.
Right. It's all about kind of speaking that into existence. So that's been the case for me this year. A lot of new shows, a lot of new shows in new cities, new fans.
So a lot of traveling.
Yeah, it's been awesome. And, you know, people don't like traveling sometimes. Like, I talk to people who travel often, and they're like, I hate it, it's the worst. I love sleeping in hotel rooms.
Really?
Well, I want to feel pillow. Like, can I have this pillow? It's pink anyways, right?
They do have some nice. I travel a lot for work, and sometimes you find some really cool pillows and stuff, but mm-hmm. sometimes I'm like, man, I just want to sleep in my own bed. Like, you just get too soft or too hard.
I'm
it's
sure
like,
I'm going to get there. But yeah. I'm sure after like a year on tour, I'm going to be like, okay, I just want my pillow and
yeah.
my cat. Because he's a hot mess.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
But I know you mentioned, you know, being a female MC in the industry has been kind of hard. Like, can you give us a couple of examples of what has made it hard? Is it just because it's such a male-centered genre, or?
So it's a lot of things, and that's an hour conversation by itself. But mostly, you know, it's a few things. Yes, definitely the fact that it's a male-dominated genre. It's funny when I rap for people, or when I, first of all, tell people that I rap, especially males, they're like, okay, we'll rap right now.
Spit a verse.
And I'm always ready, right? Like, I've learned to be ready, but also that's like telling a construction worker or building a house right now.
Mm-hmm, you know mm-hmm, what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Like, you wouldn't do... They don't do that to other guys either. Mm-mm. They really don't. Actually, they don't want to hear them rap.
Yeah, like, right. Oh, okay. Yeah, but okay.
So it's always about, like, proving yourself all the time.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Always constantly proving yourself, and... I guess the reward, because I'm always looking for the silver lining, right? And I guess the reward in that for me is when I start rapping and I look at their face and they're like...
Oh! Oh,
like that, stupid.
I love it.
So that's definitely it. And then just, you know, there's a certain thing called male privilege that definitely exists.
Yep.
And I think that just working with particular males in the industry can be difficult because they have an ulterior motive.
Yeah.
They have a hidden agenda, or they want to be with me or whatever. And it's like, listen, I'm really not that great. If you're with me, you'd be like, okay, look, take your back. How do I return this thing? So it's frustrating. And I think for me, what I've realized that I want to do is... you know, being in the music industry is bigger than me now, right? It's to get in there and dismantle that system from within,
mm-hmm.
which I think is really important, because there are a lot of younger girls that want to do this, want to be singers, want to be DJs, want to be mm-hmm. girls, want to be rappers. And so I want to be able to help usher in a new era of women in music.
Yeah.
That can be something that's honorable and respectful for them. That's really important.
Yep.
no one should have to go through half of the things that I had to go through. And thankfully, I have a thick skin, and I've learned how to deal with it and kind of learned how to play the game. But yeah. I don't want to have other young girls.
Exactly. Do you think that a lot of that has kind of softened up a little bit now that we have more female MCs out there, like Nicki Minaj, or you might have, you know, Remy Ma, like, doing stuff out there? Do you think it has kind of, like, softened that a little bit in the industry? Like, it's just more...
Absolutely not.
Not? Okay.
Actually, I would say that we actually have less female MCs in the forefront than we did prior, you know? Mm. At a time, you had MC Light, you had Queen Latifah, you had Foxy Brown, you had Lil' Kim, and now it's, like, Nicki Minaj... Sometimes Remy Martin. Mm. Maybe Iggy Azalea, who I don't even think really.
I don't even know what happened to her. She kind of fell off.
Yeah. So there's this myth in hip hop that you can only have like one woman at a time.
Really?
The reigning champ or the queen, and it's Nicki Minaj right now. And that's fine. Like, I would never doubt what she's doing, but there are other narratives and other stories that need to be told and other perspectives. So why aren't we allowing that to happen when we can have a Rick Ross and a 2 Chainz and a Lil Wayne functioning at the same time? Mm-hmm. I do workshops, and one of my favorite activities is giving students a minute to write down all the male MCs that they know. So they're going, because there's a prize at the end. Yeah. And they're 30, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, let's do women rappers. And they're like, now, and so they'll have, you know, maybe two or three. So even just the recognition, and it's not that there aren't women rappers out there.
Yeah.
There are a lot of functioning women rappers, but just not to the level as their male counterparts, and that's not fair, and that's not cool, and we need to change that.
And I think one of the biggest things that I've noticed, even when I was working around and dabbling in the industry, was that if you were a female MC or producer or anything like that, you had to have the looks, you know, and everything's all about looks, whereas a guy could look like, you know, just like they just woke up, and that's their style, right? And it's like...
White tee and some jeans, and they're good.
Scruffy, and that's his style. It's like, damn, but a female MC has to be like, you know... Like a model, you know, for them to be able to.
Because they're critiqued for everything from head to toe.
And it was so hard. I remember talking to a couple when I was in college. I was doing music a lot, and the female MCs will get either charged double to do studio time, or it was free. But like you said, it was sad. It's sad that the industry. Not only in hip hop, but I've seen it in a lot of different genres as well, like salsa and all of them.
You know, where we people work in underpaid, like it's terrible. There's actually a rap documentary called My Mic Is Nice, and in that they were talking about how with women, record labels were a little more weary to sign them because of the big budget that they came with, right? Mm-hmm. So their hair, their makeup.
Okay.
And it's like, what? I put me in a black tee and some jeans. I can peel my wing liner. I can do this for that specific reason. Boom, boom, boom.
You're ready to go, yeah.
And so, you know, that's a myth that needs to be debunked. And also, you know, women in the hip-hop genre, it's an ongoing battle because... Do you fight that or do you not? Like Alicia Keys started not wearing makeup.
Yeah.
People had a huge problem with it. I'm like, it's her face. Right.
I thought it was cool.
I have a problem with her face. And she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I almost are that lucky to look that good without makeup. Once we start shifting that norm, you know, then real change starts happening.
Yeah.
And I think that, unfortunately, it's an issue of we want to be appealing to men, and that's it sucks, you know?
Yeah.
But that's something that we need to change, and that's something that I definitely want to change.
So do you see it changing, though? Do you see that in a couple of years, maybe?
You know, I'm very optimistic about it, and here's the reason why. With the direction that the music industry is going in, especially it being much more independent, do their own thing. Like, I see a lot of artists rising, like Snow the Product, like, she's super dope. She's a Mexican MC. She raps in Spanish and English. She packs shows. You know what I mean? So for me, I think that what I've done is kind of removed expectations from my platter, which is really hard to do in anything, right?
Yeah.
You have expectations and they're not met, you're disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me, I'm trying to remove expectations on what this will look like for me at the end. Because if I can sell out shows, but I'm not on mainstream radio, that's successful.
Yeah, you know,
that's a win.
There are young men and women that are now seeing this, and that's a platform. For me, the most important thing is just a platform to say what I want to say, how I want to say it, because a lot of young people need to see themselves in artists. Even male rappers, you know, talk about how much money they have, how many women, blah, 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 blah. Like, you're broke. You borrowed that car.
Yeah, that chain was borrowed. Yep.
You had to pay her to be there. She would never mess with you any other way.
And that's the weird thing that's happening right now. I was talking about this in one of our other shows, a couple shows back, with one of our other guys' names, Carlos. And he's a real big hip-hop head, right? So we were talking about how there's, like, a weird thing going on in hip-hop where you have your mumble rap, you know, people just doing that same style here and there, and then you have your conscious rappers, you know, like, you know, Chance the Rapper and stuff like that, who are making it big without, you know, being on Universal label, you know, or being on a big name label. So something's happening in hip-hop, not just in hip-hop, in the community, that there's certain people that are getting woke, right? There's certain people that are waking up and saying, hey, you know, those lyrics are not what I need. So I wonder, you know, what's going to happen in years to come. You know, obviously hip hop's not going to die. It's not like a fad like reggaeton was, you know, where it was real heavy and then it died down. So I'm just more excited to see, are there going to be more female MCs out there? Are there going to be more conscious rappers out there? And just looking at like Facebook and YouTube and finding some of these rappers, like 15-year-old rapper, 16-year-old rapper that are, you know, throwing some dope rhymes without even
Astro, you know, you're talking about Astro, the one that was, where he didn't use any foul language,
exactly,
any drugs or anything like that.
And to me, that's a big deal, because it's a culture that I know it's going to keep going and keep growing. So,
and I think also what we need to do is kind of just take everything for what it is, right? Because I remember when I was listening to rap and people being like, it's not good music, or they're talking, you know what I mean? And sometimes I listen back and I'm like, wait, Biggie, what did you say?
Yeah.
I should not have been rapping that.
Yeah.
But like, kind of looking at it as a whole, because all those things inform each other, right? So even mumble rap, like I enjoy it, you know what I mean? And I turn up to it, like everything has its place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's all a part of the fabric of the story of cultural hip hop.
Yep.
And so what we need to do is, you know, not shun one thing. It might not be your thing, but they all kind of do come together at the end of the day. And instead of saying that's not real hip hop, this is real hip hop, like all of it has come from that origin of just kind of telling your story and being a person in probably an impoverished community and telling that story, whatever that is for you.
Yeah.
You know, they always refer to it as being the weatherman of hood, you know? I don't know if you've heard that before. It's like, I go out to tell it how it is outside.
Yep.
You know, I think eventually it'll get to a point where people realize that glorifying violence is not the best
thing
to do. But until people are provided with a different reality, that's what's just going to happen.
Yep. And aside from taking it back a little bit, aside from being a female MC, do you think it's being a Latina or a Latino in the industry has been even harder on that?
Hard.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous.
Is it because
we were part of
the hip hop movement? Yeah.
Of the whole hip hop culture. It's ridiculous.
What are some of the things that you've seen? Like,
I mean, I'm a minority. Right? I'm a three-time minority.
Yep.
Like, that's crazy because I am a rapper, right? Mm-hmm. So already people might snub their nose to that.
Yeah.
I'm a woman rapper and then I'm a Latina rapper. So it definitely poses some challenges, knowing that, you know, again, I am the minority in the industry, and there's not like I can find a large community. You know, like I'm thinking about right now in the music industry, like, ooh, Fat Joe.
Yeah, there's not a lot in the hip hop industry.
Right.
There is a lot of MCs, like male MCs, who are like Dominican, Puerto Rican, and Black. You know, so but they, because of the industry, they'll just kind of use the whole like I'm Black side instead of the Latino. But you know, who is it? Pharrell, I think it's half Dominican or something like that. You know, you have a bunch of different MCs in there that are Puerto Rican, you just don't know it. But it is definitely hard.
Be put into a box.
Yeah.
I'm like, if that box is who I am culturally, like, I'm gladly.
Yeah.
Now I'm representing a culture.
Mm-hmm.
We are like huge consumers of everything.
Everything, yeah.
Like,
it's a big population.
Yankees new video, Shaky Shaky. Like,
oh my God.
I think that's my mom's guilty pleasure.
Yeah, that's honestly his mom's favorite song. Every time I hear it, I think of her.
I was like, that's the best. Like,
he took it back old school, though. You gotta like,
the old school reggae. Like,
yeah, some dembow in there. I mean, that's one of the things that I've noticed, too, is that reggaeton, even though it died off because it went more commercialized, I want to say. I was a real diehard fan of, like, the original Don Omar, you know, the back in the day. And then now they're bringing it back again in the old school dembow. And I'm kind of, you know. Yeah. So hopefully.
I'm glad. I have a good song. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's just.
His video had, like, 200 million views, I think.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Like, that's superseding current hip-hop artists, pop artists even. Like, so we are large consumers, so I just don't know why it's been so difficult. Like, there's a lane, and it's open.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's been going on, but I definitely intend very heavily to get in there, because, like, if you think about it, where, you know, if you think about a Latina MC, like, I can really only think of Snow the Product, or maybe Jocelyn from Love and Hip Hop, but I don't even think that counts
either. Yeah. So it's, like, really, really hard, yeah.
Like, and then because I rap in Spanish and English, and I will say one thing. I am the minority. However, every time, without fail, when I rap and then I switch to Spanish, people lose their shit. That's it. They don't know. They're like, I don't know what she was saying, though. I mean, that shit was rocking. With the mommy boppy. You know?
That was good.
Every single time. Yeah. They're like, oh, it's like almost the stamp or the solidifier.
Yep.
And so, even with being a woman, being a Latina woman, with those kind of restrictions, I think that they can also play to being assets for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, every time I rap, as soon as I start rapping, they're like, oh, shit, she can rap. And then they switch in, they're like, oh, shit, for real, she can rap.
Yep.
I'm like, thank you.
Especially with the difference in languages. I mean, you know, the way that you rhyme in English is not going to be the same way in Spanish, or the words, the way that you use your words, completely different. Yeah, the way you play your words. So it's a big deal to me. And that's one of the cool things that I like about you, is that you're able to do the Spanish and the English, because it tends to happen where people might jump into the genre, not only hip hop, but in other, you know, pop or whatever. And then they tend to forget where they came from, you know. And it's something that we talk about a lot in the show, is that we want to make sure that we always remember where we came from, and we always kind of showcase our culture in that sense. But
and that's the reason why when I label myself and I say this is Pinky and this is who I am, I always add Puerto Rican in there, because that is one of the most important things in my life, is my culture and my heritage, my tradition, my language. So every time it's these are the things that I am, that's always on the forefront. Puerto Rican and women are always on the forefront.
And so what part of Chicago you come from?
So I grew up near Logan Square.
Okay.
We went to church in Logan Square, but I've lived all over this damn city. As soon as I turned 17, I was like, all right, family, you're crazy, I'm leaving. I'm going to live by myself. So I've lived all over, but every time I claim a community, it's always Humboldt Park. Because for me, that was quintessentially the epitome of Puerto Ricanness and to be a Boricua woman. I remember my parents were very, very religious, Pentecostal.
Oh, wow. were they called rajatablas, like, pretty strict?
No, they were. I couldn't wear pants.
Yeah, pretty strict, huh?
Color my hair, paint my nails. Now I'm like the spawn kid, right? They look at me and they're like, what? I go to my mom's church and they're like, praying immediately as soon as I walk in.
Yeah.
But because they were so strict and religious, we couldn't celebrate the Puerto Rican parade.
Wow.
Oh,
it was really bad.
Yeah.
So I remember specifically, we had a minivan, and me and my brother would sit in the back seat, and we would take our little paper and our crayons, right? We would draw a Puerto Rican flag.
Oh, my God.
And when my parents weren't looking, we put it on the window.
That's good.
That's awesome.
We were so geeked, right? We were like,
that's awesome.
Fuck that, we're going to represent.
Yeah.
We would be in the back real quiet. They knew something was up. Okay, we'd be driving by and we'd put it on the window.
That is so funny. Horn. Yeah.
And so that just that's like one of my fondest memories of Humboldt Park is like driving through there and like having to kind of repress my Puerto Ricanness, but also like rebelling. Yeah. Still like, mm-hmm. I'm gonna draw this with my crayon. Like,
It's interesting you say that. It's kind of like a weird, like I'm gonna bring up the fact that the reason why Puerto Ricans are so proud of their flag, right? Because for a long time in Puerto Rico, mm-hmm. you weren't allowed to display the Puerto Rican flag. It was just a U.S. flag. Mm-hmm. So it kind of like the same feeling, you know, where you couldn't do it. So low key, you really had a lot of pride to it. So,
yeah,
exactly. That's where you have the Puerto Rican flag on everything. Like we'll have it on cars. And mm-hmm. if you're my mom, she has it on her seats and her seat belt and everything. It's like, damn, is she Puerto Rican? Yep.
Mm-hmm. She is. That's one thing is like people... Anytime they talk about me, like they're like, "She's Puerto Rican as hell." I'm like, "Thank you."
Yeah, be proud, yeah.
Compliment.
Exactly.
That's what I want to be and represent. Like that's extremely important to me.
Yep. And what about like as far as like your songs and you know your lyrics? What do you try to censor them around?
The last album that I released was called Her Story, mm-hmm. The Lost Chapters, and it was a follow up to my EP Her Story. And the reason why I named it Her Story is because what my music centers around is definitely my experiences and my narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that that's one of the most important things as a musician is sharing your personal experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So someone somewhere could be like, I've been through that.
Right.
Someone understands.
Yeah.
Or even if it's a love song and they're like, I didn't know the words to describe that breakup, or I didn't know the words to describe that really good feeling. That
mm-hmm.
It's really important for me to share my personal experiences and my narrative, and then just kind of the having it be the alternative to history, right? It was extremely important for me to tell women's stories, and with the title track, I mentioned a lot of women names who have passed, who were women pioneers. So womanhood is definitely at the center of what I do,
mm-hmm.
Telling my personal stories at the center of what I do, and then just talking about true things and real things that have happened to me or have happened to other people, or things that people are just really going to resonate with,
yeah.
I think is important. But on the alternative, I like to turn up too. Yep, and I like to talk shit, and I like to bars, and I like metaphors, and you know, so it's a little bit of everything, but I think at the epicenter of my music is definitely womanhood and my experience.
Yeah. That's dope. And I know that you mentioned you kind of taking it more into a full time. I know it's very hard to do. I could just imagine. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, I was in the industry. I'm still kind of at my dabble here and there. But I remember at first I was like, man, this sucks. It's so hard. Like you have to do a lot of favors and this and that. So I noticed that you're doing a Kickstarter. So can you explain a little bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the pursuit of being an independent musician, one of the downfalls is the finances. If you sign to a label, then they have a budget for you, mm-hmm. to cover your touring or your distribution or your creation of content or your music videos. And so in opposing that kind of industry, because they would dictate who you are and what you do, I decided to launch a Kickstarter campaign, which Kickstarter is a platform for people to just raise money for different projects, but you have to have a specific project. So if you're launching a video game or you know, releasing an album or what have you. So it was a long time coming. It was a long process of getting it started and getting it going. Mostly what got in the way was myself, was just the idea that it wasn't going to work, that I wasn't going to support that.
Yeah.
Or that I wasn't going to make the goal, because with Kickstarter it's all or nothing. So if you don't reach your goal, you don't get any of the money.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's a big risk.
My goal is $5,000, and if I make $4,999...
Oh, no way.
It's really hard. I had the alternative of doing GoFundMe.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like people have been really abusing
it. GoFundMe
platform.
Unless you were the paletero that got...
Dude, he made so much money.
What was it, like $350,000 or something?
All the money. It's funny, I actually wrote a song called Silencio.
Wow.
That I haven't recorded it yet. I wrote it, so I had my first show at the Second City, so I wrote it to perform it there because I thought it was really important.
Yeah.
To talk about, it's not specifically about him, but it's more about like revolution and within the Latino community, because what we fail to ask is why is he still working? and why are these systems working against Latinos and Latinas?
Exactly.
Where they have to be 70, 80 years old, still pushing on the public at heart. So the Kickstarter, it was a long process, and I finally launched it on my birthday. I figured there would be no better day on my birthday to ask people for money. It's been going really well. I believe we have 30 days left, and we're almost 100% funded.
Nice.
That's major. That first push is really important. It slows down towards the middle, and then the end push is really
important.
I'm working every day on it. I'm constantly, I do everything. So I make, you know, the videos, or I'll edit them, or I'll make the whatever graphic design thing that I need to make.
Do you have a team behind that, or is it just you?
I have strong supporters in that, like, for example, my graphic designer, the guy that does my website, like, at the drop of a dime,
I'll
get this new graphic, and they'll do it, and they'll charge me really significantly less
than
charge, or they won't charge me. Actually, at my birthday party, my videographer who filmed my last two music videos, Lipstick and Where Do We Go From Here, about the violence in Chicago, he pulled me to the side of my birthday party, and he's like, hey, I'm going to give you a present. I was like, oh, no, dude, you don't have to give me nothing. All good. And he's like, no, I think it's important. I was like, okay, what's up? He's like, I want to give you your next music video for free.
That's great.
I just kept saying no. I'm sure I'm too, so don't lie to me. No, I got you. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. So I've been very blessed in that I have a lot of really strong supporters and people who really rock with what I'm doing. The Kickstarter ends on Thanksgiving Day. So my final push on Thanksgiving Day, I'm going to add a new prize on that day. It's going to have something to do with coquito, that's all. I do make coquito.
I
make a strawberry.
I'm going to have to hit you up.
Ooh, strawberry version. Wow.
Piquito, and it's
fluffy. Piquito, that's good. I like it.
Nice.
Designer made a label, has the Humble Park flag on it.
Yes. We're going to have to buy some.
So the last push on Thanksgiving Day, for the beginning of the day, is going to be personal home visits and cooking. I'm going to be going across the city and visiting people.
That's awesome. And where can they find your Kickstarter?
So www.kickstartpinkystream.com. Pinky is P-I-N-Q-Y. And on all of my social media, the link is there. That was also another idea from my graphic designer. The link for Kickstarter was like kickstarter.com/profile. Okay, we'll buy a domain. Smart. You know what you're talking about. kickstartpinkystream.com. And the cool thing about Kickstarter is that it's not just like, here's $50, here's $100. For whatever you decide to pledge, you get something in return. So, for example, there's a $25 package, which is my album, Her Story, The Lost Chapters. I'm never printing that album again. So it's the last copies of that. You get a copy of that. So you pledge the money, but you're still getting something in return. There's a $40 package for Pink Tuesday. So Pink Tuesday, every Tuesday I write a rap and perform it. So for Pink Tuesdays, you can, for $40, you can either be featured in it, you can get your crew's name shouted out. You can get your name, you can pick a word. There's an educator package for $200, so I'll come to school and do an hour and a half workshop for $200. So you're getting something in return. So it's not just like giving your money and that's it. And also an important thing to note is they're just pledges. You're just making a pledge. Nothing is coming out of your bank account unless we reach our goal.
You
can pledge, you know, $200 today. Nothing will come out, and it'll come out on Thanksgiving Day.
Once
we reach our goal, that's when you get charged. So no one gets charged until we reach the goal. So if we don't reach the goal, no one gets charged anything.
So, mi gente, make sure you check out the Kickstarter and at least buy the $40 one and say that you want her to rap about La Verdad.
And get her coquito. I'm getting that coquito. I'm excited for that.
The coquito.
There's actually a $70 package. It's called the Pinkito Party. I wanted to call it Pinky's Puerto Rican Pinkito Party. It was like, this is too long, babe. But so for $70, it'll be kind of like a networking event. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cook. My mom's going to cook. We'll have
authentic food. So yes.
Wow.
It's a party. So it'll basically be like a culminating party because I know we're going to be successful.
What are y'all going to cook? Because I'm a little hungry. Okay.
My mom makes the best ensalada de codito.
Wow.
It's the best. Literally. Wow. People will not want to eat anyone else's ever again.
I gotta try. I'm not a big fan of ensalada colita, but maybe. Yeah, I'm gonna have to. So let's gather up some money. $70, you said?
$70 party up, and so there will be Pinkito there. I'll be there. My drink will be there, and my family. So
awesome.
I kind of wanted a package where my family could be involved.
That's awesome, man.
They're very supportive, finally, of my art when they weren't before. They really were not supportive at all, and now they are.
That's good to have, like, support from not just fans, but, like, your family, everybody that's sticking behind you.
My dad is so funny because my dad is a character. I post about him all the time because he's so fun. The other day he texted me and he made me un sandwich. Spelled it sandwich.
A sandwich.
He said, sweetheart, where are you? I made you sandwich with a melty cheese. I'm home, Bobby. I'm coming. Bobby, he's so cute. My dad is adorable. So he doesn't know how to say pinky ring because he's very Puerto Rican. Mm-hmm. So he thinks everyone knows me. Like, he thinks I'm much more famous than I already am. He'll go to, like, Sir Mac, Pro Tools,
and have that's so cute. Here.
He'll be like, mira, you know my daughter? And he can't say pinky ring, so he'll be like, mira, you are my daughter, the ringy bingy. I'm happy that's not how you say my name. He goes, oh, no, you, she's famous rapper. No, you don't know. Okay, pera, I'll show you on YouTube. You gotta
close one eye, right? And put it far away, huh?
I go on YouTube, pull up my video, play my whole music for my whole catalog.
That's the best.
But like, they were not supported like that because it was just the devil's music. Mm-hmm. And so... I walked into my house maybe 4 years ago, and my first mixtape cover was framed and on the wall.
Aww.
It was like my mom's way of silently telling me, like, I accept what you're doing.
Wow. Yeah.
So that means the world to me.
Yeah.
Without that support, like, who are you?
Exactly.
Right.
That's your roots. That's where you come from. You know. So it's a big blessing in disguise. You know, to see that it's especially. Coming from a strict household, I would say, you know.
To say the least.
So that's awesome. But I know that you've been doing some activism as well. You're known in the community for activism. So can you give us a little bit of insight of what you've been doing? And one of the many.
She's like, where do I start?
No, I mean, actually, what I was going to say is I don't really... like to call myself an activist. I do what I'm supposed to do as a person.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And there are people that are doing a lot more than I am. So those mm-hmm. are the people that I would consider activists.
Okay.
Right? They're at the front lines, and I respect those people, and they're fighting for our Puerto Rican agenda and our city and our youth. And so because I respect them so much, I really don't like to give myself the title of activist. I just do what I should be doing and what we all should be doing in
yep.
the sense of
yep.
mm-hmm.
So... because my music is very closely related to just narratives and telling your story and telling your true story, a lot of what I do is youth-based work.
So okay.
I've worked in the nonprofit sector for probably 7 or 8 years now.
Yeah.
I started with a trip I took to Ghana, West Africa, and when I came back, I was working at a hair salon, their front desk, and I came back from Africa to my front desk job at a hair salon, and I was like, this is really shitty. Like, I don't want to do this. Yeah. Like, I don't want to make these rich people's hair appointments anymore. Like, I was just in Africa, and I felt it was such an empowering moment, such a revolutionary moment in my life that I said that that's what I want to do moving forward. So I got my first job. I hadn't even graduated from college yet. I got my first job teaching English as a second language on the south side of Chicago.
Okay.
My students were anywhere from 21 years old to I had a 70-year-old man in my classroom.
Wow.
And that was my first taste of, like, classroom work and teaching, and I was like, this is awesome. And ever since then, I've always worked in a lot of different capacities. So I've been a GED teacher. I've been an ESL teacher. I've been a youth worker, a mentor, a counselor, you know, and I found something else that I was really good at,
mm-hmm.
And that was a blessing for me. And I think... the most important work that I do is to just highlight our culture.
Exactly.
Highlight our young people and challenge people's notions of what it means to be black or brown in America.
Yeah.
Which I think is important because a lot of people have really messed up ideals and racist ideas and stereotypes of what it means, and I'm there to tell you that ain't what it is.
Exactly.
What it really is, and I think that's important. And just empowering our youth, they're our future. And
yep.
So I have a workshop called The Pinky Project where I go into schools and I do a workshop based around a few different things, but mostly self-esteem.
That's awesome, yeah.
And then I work for an organization also called Guitars Over Guns.
Okay.
And they do music mentorship.
Interesting.
So I'll be working at a school in Brownsville. Actually, our regional director was on The Voice this year.
Wow.
There are some rock star people that work for Guitars Over Guns. Like, wow. It's an amazing organization. It's the first organization that I worked for that I was like, I love you guys. Nice. Can we be friends forever?
Wow.
I just want to be your friend all the time. Like, just rock star musicians.
Yep.
They flew me to Miami for a training, and I just fell in love with everyone there. And they've been my biggest supporters. The CEO donated $200.
Wow, wow.
Development donated $200. They donated the amount for a shout out on Pink Tuesday.
Yep.
So they'll be getting a shout out soon. So they're not only amazing people, but they're very supportive and they really believe in what I'm doing. And that's important.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah.
Passing that on to young people and being that for them and mentoring them and showing them the way and just strongly believing in them.
Mm-hmm.
Way. That's
yep.
That's activism to me.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
That's
exactly.
Good.
And the fact that you're doing that, and also, you know, there's a lot of people out there that might be in the genre that just do that, you know, they just want to rap and put words together, but you embody that as well, you know, you're able to show it out. So that's one of the reasons why we wanted to bring you out to the show, because it's something that, you know, like you said, you know, you should just be living an activist life, you know, you should be giving back to the community that raised mm-hmm. you, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's awesome.
It's just once a year, you know, you go and do something or
yeah
food drive or do, you know what I mean?
Like, exactly,
we all have that. For some reason people, that's why I don't like being called an activist, because for some reason people are really praise what I do and it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I think that it should be a norm. It shouldn't be something that's out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
It should be a norm. And when we start creating that, then what I do will just be another part of what we're all doing as a community.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of, you know, raise all of us up.
So is the part of your community service, your love for the community, did that come from like your youth, like when you were young? I know a lot of people that we've talked to in the past have said, you know, I saw my parents, they were, you know, very involved in church and helping out the community that way. So I kind of like, that was part of my life. Or other people might say, no, I just went to college and it just clicked to me that I need to give back. So how did it all start for you?
I think that, so in some kind of low-key way, I think it started with family and church and kind of seeing what they do and just seeing, like, my mom's the church treasurer, right? So she's mm-hmm. she's a volunteer, so she's always kind of, she just, my mom just got hit by a car.
Wow.
Terrible, right? I want to kill this man. His address is on the police report. Mm. I've been doing everything in my power to not pay him a visit. Anyway, I digress. So she, like, 2 days after she got hit by this car, I see her up, sitting on the at the table, counting the church's money. And I'm like, lady,
take a break.
One time that God is telling you to sit down, I'm going to need you to sit down. So I think in a very low-key way, it started there, right?
Mm-hmm.
It started with
seeing that
mm-hmm. seeing how my mom is. My dad goes to visit elderly every Sunday. He goes to visit the elderly. He sings songs to them. He reads the Bible. And, So in a low-key way, like, that was very ingrained, right? That comes from mm-hmm. family. That comes in, that's embedded in my DNA.
Yep.
But it didn't click. It definitely did not click. I think what you said really resonated. It really didn't click for me until two things happened. Three things happened. Number one thing happened was I was in a car accident that left me in a coma.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Before that, I was living a terrible life, right? I was stealing from people, hanging out with gangbangers, going with them when they were doing drive-by, selling drugs, fighting guys, girls, anyone could get these hands. Anyone. Everyone and anyone. And I'm 5 foot nothing, right? I'm like, wow, I got little people complex. So fighting everyone, I got arrested in high school. which prevented an opportunity for me to teach in Japan. I got the job and everything was ready to go, and
wow.
they saw my background and they didn't let me go.
Wow.
Even
wow.
though I've already been a much better person,
yeah.
working in community for a long time, they didn't let me go. So I was just not on the best track, very angry, and just I had a lot that happened to me as a young person that really informed who I was and made me angry, right? Mm-hmm. So it's important to note that. But this accident that happened, I woke up, Cook County Hospital, didn't know what I was doing, didn't know why I was there, looked around, cursed out every nurse there, wow. took out my IV, went to get off the bed and fell on the floor.
Oh, wow.
Because I had been there for, I think it was like 2 or 3 days that I was just laying there.
Yeah, so your body wasn't, yeah.
It was not. So it literally, like when I can pinpoint the point of transformation, that was it. Like I literally fell to the floor. That was my lowest point.
Yeah.
My mom had just left to get something to eat, so she was so sad that she wasn't there when I finally came mm-hmm. too. But when she came back, just to look in her eyes, like, see how pained she was, that she almost lost me. Mm-hmm. And then they brought a mirror so I could see myself, and I was unrecognizable. My teeth were broken. My nose was broken. I had a scar there. I have a scar actually here that goes all
wow,
the
way
back.
Wow.
So I didn't even recognize myself. I was bruised everywhere. And I was like, wow, this could have been the end of my story.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And what would my legacy have been? Like, yep. what would I have left behind?
Exactly.
I was an angry teenager that just was mad about things and didn't really deal with them. Mm-hmm. Wasn't self-aware about them. So that was the one. I got money from that accident, and I used that money to go to Africa. Because wow. I said, I need to do something different. I need to get away wow. for a while and find myself. That was definitely a transformative point as well. Wow. And then I re-enrolled in college. First in my family to graduate from college, I went to UIC.
Nice.
Creative writing. That solidified it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because there I was really learning the language to speak about the things that I was
feeling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or the injustices that we were experiencing.
Exactly.
I took gender classes. I took race theory classes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it opened up a whole new world.
Exactly.
And so I think those were definitely the things that really made me realize that it's more important that I provide those experiences for young people mm-hmm. that probably won't have that opportunity, won't go to college.
Exactly.
Or won't make it out of that coma. You know
yep.
what I mean?
Yep.
So that's my mission now, and it was because of those things.
And I like what you mentioned, and I think every single show we kind of mention the same theme where we talk about what is your legacy, right? What mm-hmm. what do you want to leave behind? And it's yeah. something that was taught to me by my grandmother, who was a huge activist in the community. And I was able to go to college and it opened up, like you mentioned, you know, not so much that it opened up my eyes to the activism or the social injustices that were going on, but it gave me a more... it kind of like fixed and gave me a shape to be and a voice to be able to voice those injustices. Language. Exactly. The
yeah.
language to talk about it.
Yeah.
And it's been a great thing that, you know, has helped me develop Una La Verdad and get people together to do that with me. But I think the biggest thing too, that we have to realize is, you know, being able to leave that legacy behind. And I love that specifically because you're not here for nothing.
Right.
You know, you should be. Exactly.
I think people forget that, you know, they become so enthralled and they kind of admire these artists or musicians
mm-hmm.
or whoever. And it's like, Don't look at them. Look at yourself. Like,
exactly.
What are you? What
mm-hmm.
do you think that's discouraged sometimes, pursuing a passion?
Yep.
Is
yep.
really discouraged. I mean, and self-doubt is very real. Like, I can't tell you how many times I was ready to push go on my Kickstarter and I didn't, because in the back of my mind, something was saying, and I think that's also very cultural, and that's also kind of how the world has treated us.
Right? Yeah.
It's not going to work. That's
exactly.
not good enough. It's not good enough. It's not going to work. You're not going to make that money. Why are you wasting your time?
Exactly.
And what I've had to do, and shout out to mental health awareness and
mm-hmm.
knowing where you are with that, because if it wasn't for the several therapists that I've had, I would not be the very self-aware person that I am.
Exactly.
To this day, I'll do something and stop and be like, why'd you do that?
Yeah.
And that's so important.
Yep.
And when you have that self-awareness, then you can look within and say, who am I?
Yep.
What are my values? What am I not willing to sacrifice or compromise?
Mm-hmm.
And what am I contributing to the world?
Exactly.
In whatever way, no matter, you don't have to be a rapper. You don't have to be you can be whoever, a teacher, you can be a graphic designer, you can be whatever, a bucket boy on the corner.
Exactly, you know,
you're
exactly.
You're giving someone a form of happiness, and that's amazing.
And I think Martin Luther King had mentioned too, whereas whatever you do, do it, you know, make sure that you do your best at it,
do it
you
well.
Know, so if you're gonna be cleaning a janitor, mm-hmm. be the best damn janitor you could be, and leave that legacy behind. So
you're helping someone else, everyone is helping someone else in some way. Mm-hmm. So when you realize that, then you do things with joy and happiness. Yep. And that's when things really start materializing for you.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Another thing too that I wanted to talk about, I was watching your video, the Where Do We Go From Here video, and it resonated a lot. I know the last two episodes we talked about violence in Chicago and what's happening in the Chicago area. What gave you the idea? It was a very unique video. You didn't even have to listen to the words. You could just see the visual aspect behind it was amazing. You could definitely feel where you were coming from and what's happening in the city. Like what motivated you?
It takes a village, right? Mm-hmm. Unity. And I really have to take the time to give a super huge, humongous shout out to my former manager, Will Diaz, because he was very instrumental in that happening, as well as Robert, my videographer.
Okay.
Definite Sound Media is his company. My best friend, Gabe, who's on B96 on the morning show on B96, he helped the choir.
Nice. Together.
He helped kind of reformat the words to the song to make it just as powerful as it needed to be. And without those human beings, it would not be what it is.
Wow.
And so I'm so blessed to have people like that of great vision and men of just talent like that, mm-hmm. that helped me to do things like that. For me, it was really important, starting with the song, it was really important for me to have youth voices on it.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't want to just make a song about the violence in Chicago, knowing that the number one age group that's impacted are young people in the city. Mm-hmm. Be it that they are the ones getting gunned down or that they are the ones losing their friends.
Yeah.
I remember being in high school at Lane Tech, a very, like, you know, prestigious high school,
yeah.
and losing my own friends.
Yep,
you know? Yep. Like, and a lot of people didn't have that experience at Lane Tech, but I did, and it was because I was also from the hood, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So losing my friends and how that impacted my schoolwork, and even in college I lost a friend and I almost failed a course and I talked to my professor and she
yep.
really helped me out. It was really important for me to kind of recall that time and to bring youth voices onto this particular song and project, yep. because it wasn't about me. If you'll notice in the video, I'm not even a
fan. Yeah.
I play a background role.
Yep.
I didn't even want to be in the video at all. Yeah. My manager's like, are you crazy? Like, I don't want to be in this video.
It was unique. Yeah, I love that.
Yep. And so I was in all black, and so I was kind of playing the background role, and I was kind of playing, in a sense, death. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Yeah.
And so having them on the song was extremely important, as well as they, A, had never recorded in a recording studio before. B, had never been in a music video before.
The kids?
Yes.
Okay, wow.
If you listen to the song, you're like, how in
yeah,
the
they're really
world
good.
Have they never recorded?
You know, I honestly thought, not until now, I thought you sampled that part, but no, it's, wow.
Kids.
Yeah, that's really good.
So I have to shout out the HHW Youth Choir. Yeah, so they, and I actually met them through After School Matters.
Mm-hmm.
I used to work for After School
okay.
Matters. Yeah. I've worked for so many companies. In this city, it's ridiculous. So I used to work for After School Matters, and I saw a video on their Instagram page of a choir, and I was like, I need them. So I reached out. They made the connection. I'm at Gene Hendricks, who's the director of the HHW Choir,
mm-hmm.
and we came together. So, yeah, you would, if you hear the song, you're like, how are these kids? How have they never recorded before? And then when you watch the video, they are the forefront of the video,
mm-hmm.
and they're in raw emotion.
Yeah,
they're not actors, they've never been in a music video.
Wow.
To see that and to see that just goes to show you the power of young people.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
they made that what it was.
Wow.
And what it was going to be, and they were amazing. And then as far as the music video goes, so we wanted it all in black and white. At the end is the only time you see color, and when it's the little boy who got shot laying on mm-hmm. the floor, which was also really hard to do.
Oh, I could just film. Imagine, yeah.
It like... was extremely difficult. My friend Ashley plays the mom. I met her through Quantum Learning, another organization I work with. So she played the mom, and then the little boy was her friend's son. And so talking to the mom of the son, I was like, I hope this is okay. We're going to use it for the cover up.
Right.
She's like, you don't know how much it hurt me to see him like that,
oof.
But I know what you're doing. Like, there's so much
bigger
than
picture.
This. Yeah, and so I know what you're doing, and it's fine. So without them, it wouldn't have been what it was. And I think the song aimed to not really answer the question. You know, if you hear the song, there's no answer to the question of violence. It's just posing the question, like, where do we go from here?
Mm-hmm.
So here are the facts. Here's what it is. Now, how do we move forward? Where do we go from here? Instead of saying, here are all the answers on how we fix this problem.
Right.
It's like, I'm asking you as a community, as church leaders, as activists, as young people, everyone, let's mm-hmm. all sit down at a table and talk about where do we go from here? What do we do? What's the problem? How do we fix it? Because I think sometimes we take this kind of higher road as adults, right? And like, we know better. Or I'll see panels of people discussing violence. Where are the young people on the panel?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They're the ones that know it the most. That's their first-hand experience.
Right, exactly.
Why aren't they the ones that are giving the answers? Mm-hmm. They're the ones that are hurting and need help and are the ones picking up these guns. Like, so where do we go from here? Let's ask them instead of just giving all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. It's very nice to see a visual perspective, and especially not just a visual perspective, but an artist bringing it out and showing exactly what's, you know, a different way of what's happening. I think that's the biggest thing, especially that not just not celebrate of the violence that's happened, but instead, hey, like, where do we go from here? So,
yeah.
You know, we're kind of getting to the end of the show, but I definitely want to make sure that our followers can follow you and if you could plug your sites and your Kickstarter project so that our followers could go ahead and donate as well.
Absolutely. So, my website is www.pinkyring.com, and it's PINQY. Not K-Y, a lot of people call me. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes people will be like, P-I-N-Q-K-Y. I'm like, who did that? Who taught you? Where your mama at? We can have a conversation. So P-I-N-Q-Y. So pinkyring.com. On Instagram, I'm pinky_ring. Twitter, pinkyring. Facebook.com/pinkyring. And then kickstarter.com. No. Line. Listen, some carrier pigeon. No. www.kickstartpinkiesdream.com is the Kickstarter. And if you go on any of my social media, you'll see all those links, the video for my Kickstarter. Please share that. If you go on my page and you see the video, please share it. I think that does the best job of explaining who I am, what I am, and what I'm trying to do.
Nice.
The Kickstarter goes into depth about what I'm going to do with the money, what I want to do, what are the prizes. So you can find all of that information there. I'm very transparent. Ask me anything and I'll tell you. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm actually raising less money than I actually need for what I need to do.
Yeah.
With the idea that I just need to reach it. You know, I need to make something. So I'm very transparent about what I'm going to do with the money and how it's going to help me, and in turn how that's going to help just our city and our community.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
So, mi gente, you know, it's been a pleasure having you here in the show. I'm looking forward to some coquito as well.
Yes.
Maybe some pastel on the side, some ensalada de coquito. You know what I'm saying? So, it's been a pleasure having you here. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, I've heard of you since I was in high school. I went to Lincoln Park. She went to Lane Tech. And my brother had gone to Lane Tech. So, it was kind of like, you know, the CPS community kind of knew who you were, you know. So, it's nice to have you actually here in the show, talking and sharing experiences together. And one last thing, if you could give just a quick word of advice to any of our female listeners that are probably thinking about going into the industry, what do you say?
Okay. So before I do that, I just want to say that you guys prefaced with saying that you wanted to feel like family conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly how I felt.
Awesome.
Good.
Great dialogue. Like, there are rarely, you know, I have interviews and they're like, so, thank you guys. Out there. So word of advice, you can do anything that you want to do. I always think of what I would say to my younger self, and I see myself even now as an adult woman, sometimes experiencing a lot of self-doubt about what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. Your path will be presented to you, and it will be as clear as day, and only you will get in your own way mm-hmm. to achieving that goal. You can do anything that you want to do. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what your gender is, what your sexual preference is, what your ethnicity is. Sometimes we almost attach those labels to ourselves and then create obstacles for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Find within those things that you think to be things that are going to hurt you or hinder you, find the beauty in that and embrace that and do it. Do it full-fledged. Find something that you love and do it. Don't let anybody tell you differently because you were purposed. You were divinely purposed. Someone put you on this earth for a reason. Do that thing. It would be a disservice to the world if you didn't do that thing and if you didn't believe in yourself.
Awesome. Beautiful. Mi gente, you heard it here. Pinky, thank you so much for coming and giving us some insight of what you do. And make sure that you guys like, subscribe, and share this episode with whoever you think will benefit from it. Because we speak in La Verdad. Gracias, mi gente, and God bless.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.